Hey, good morning, everyone. I also want to say good morning to those who are joining us online and in one of our other venues. My name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, let's make that happen today if possible. So we are continuing a sermon series called Something Better. And I want to start off by asking you a very simple question. Who is the most famous person you've ever met? Now, I'm going to show you the autograph of one of the most famous people I ever met, and I want to see if you can figure out who it is. Oh, my people. You have guessed correctly. It is the autograph of none other than Sparky Anderson, one of the most beloved managers of the Tigers baseball team of all time. I met him when I was in junior high, when I was in Florida, when Tigers were on spring training, and got to meet Sparky. I actually got a picture taken with him, but my curious middle school minds back then when we had cameras with very sensitive film, I wondered what would happen if you'd open the camera before the film was developed. So I never got my picture developed, but I always remember I got an autograph with Sparky. Now, for those of us here in Michigan, of course, we're going to know who Sparky Anderson is. And if you're a baseball fan, you got to know who Sparky is. So let's broaden it out. I met somebody who's probably even more famous than Sparky Anderson. Now, I got to give you a little context here. When I was in high school and through college, I worked at D&W, the grocery store, in the produce department through college and through high school. And because of my immense connections there, I got to meet this famous lady. She made her way through our store, and I got my picture taken with her. Miss Chiquita Banana. There I am with some stupid hat on. Looks good on her, not on me. I better be careful, otherwise I'll be sleeping on the couch tonight. But I got to meet Miss Chiquita Banana, and that's probably the most famous person that I've ever met. So I want to ask you, who is the most famous person that you have ever met? See, in our world of social media and just with social media and just how quickly things are uploaded, people become famous so quickly and fizzle out so fast. And we know that it's often the people who are the loudest, the angriest, and the most violent that are the most famous right now. And I want to ask, where are the people who are famous for the simple, good things? Where are they, and why don't we highlight them? Peace Church, I don't care if we are ever well known, but I do care what we are known for. And I want us to be known for patience and for kindness. Yes, we are going to be known for speaking biblical truth, but here's the reality. Every good church should be known for that. I want Peace Church to be known for patience and kindness. Here's the deal. If we live by the Spirit, if we truly walk in step with the Spirit, He will produce those things in us. And when that happens, the world will see something better in us. And shouldn't they? Shouldn't the world see something better in the church? If you agree with that, please say amen. Amen. We're talking about patience and kindness today. Not the most exciting topics, but timely. So I'm going to need you to let me know that you're with me from time and time again. If I say something you agree with, please let me know. That is our sermon series. We're looking at what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of our work, but the fruit of the Spirit. And it's these qualities that are produced in our life when we live faithful lives. Would you please turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16. We're going to read down to verse 25. If you don't have that with you, that's fine. I will be reading it. As you're turning there, there are 9 fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions as he writes to the Galatians. We're going to look at patience and kindness today. Paul wrote this letter about 20 years, just 20 years, after Jesus Christ had been risen from the dead. And it's easy to see when you read through the book of Galatians, Paul is trying to make this very clear argument that we don't live, those who are made new in Jesus Christ, we don't live according to the Old Testament law. We don't live in bondage to the law. Paul says that we live in obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's the big thrust that he talks about through this entire book, and that's what we're going to focus on. So, please follow along as I read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. And I think the sound team will click through the screen if you want to follow along on there. Paul writes this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." This is God's word. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, that you've set it aside that we can gather as your people. And Lord, I want to thank you and welcome those who are joining us maybe for the first time. And I just would pray, Father, that as we look to Christ, we would know that the truth has set us free. Help us to not live in darkness, but as people of the light. Help us to no longer live in lies, but to rejoice in the truth. And help us to live not enslaved to the old law, but in joyful obedience to the Spirit. And I pray that, especially this morning, that we would leave here, and by the power of your Spirit, our lives would be marked by patience and kindness. It's in the precious, perfect, and powerful name of Jesus we pray these things. And everybody said very loudly, amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about our need to take this not just seriously, but to take this spiritually. We need to take what we're talking about this morning seriously, yes, but even more so, we need to take it spiritually. So just three parts today, good old-fashioned three-point sermon. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how we have a better experience of Him. We're going to talk about patience and how we will have a better experience of life. And then we're going to talk about kindness and how people can have a better experience of you. And so let's start with the Holy Spirit. To understand how to take this spiritually, we need to know the Spirit. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm going to talk about a few crucial things. I cannot give you an exhaustive description of pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but I want to hit on some very key things for us as we get to know who He is. That little font will give you an indicative indication of what's going to be on this keynote screen, because the Holy Spirit is immense. The first thing you need to know is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. He was present at creation. He guided the writers of the Old and the New Testament, meaning He is the ultimate author of Scripture. In Scripture, we see Him speak. He is who made the Virgin Mary conceive to be pregnant with Jesus Christ. He was there at Jesus' baptism. Jesus said to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sin. If you have a question whether or not the Holy Spirit is God, that alone should answer your question. Jesus commands that we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In Greek, the word name is singular, but yet Jesus talks about a plurality, Father, Son, and Spirit. He is sent by Jesus to lead and guide believers in the church until Jesus Christ himself returns. He empowers the spiritual gifts unto believers that are meant to build the church. If you have accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit has given you at least one spiritual gift that is not meant for yourself, that is meant to be used in service of the church. And as we're talking about today, the Holy Spirit is the one who bears His fruit in our lives to show that we are true believers. It's phenomenal how monumental the Spirit is in Scripture, but how little we recognize Him in our lives. Most of you know that when I was little, before I was even 2 years old, my father died. And until my mom got remarried and I was adopted, there was a window of time there where my uncle kind of filled in that gap. So I'm extremely close to my uncle. I love him. I love being around him. When I was growing up, he was the quintessential uncle. He was the most fun person I knew. I knew that he loved me. I knew that he would do anything for me. But when I was little and I would spend the night at his house, being a little guy, I was embarrassed and intimidated to ask for a drink. I would have to wait for him to offer me a drink. I was just too bashful and too intimidated. And looking back at that time, I realized that intimidation and that bashfulness and that unwillingness to ask him for a drink, in a lot of ways, that kept me from fully experiencing the love and the presence of my uncle, who would have joyfully got me a drink. Probably at 5 years old, it would have been Mountain Dew. But here is what I know about most Christians. The Holy Spirit is the greatest power available to you that you don't use. He is the greatest comforter of our lives that we don't rest in. The Holy Spirit is the great builder of our faith that we don't lean into. And so probably some of you who are trying to get ahead of me right now, you're asking, well, just tell me then. How do I experience more of him? What do I got to do? Just tell me, give me the script. How do I experience more of the Holy Spirit? Now imagine that someone comes to me and says, Ryan, I know that you know this woman, and I'd really like to get to know her. Can you tell me about her? And I say, well, okay, well, she's from Grand Rapids. She comes from a nice family. She's got a dog. She likes Italian food. And this person says, whoa. That's great information, but I want to get to know her. What am I going to say? Like, well, then you should probably spend time with her. And that's what I would say to you. I don't want to give you a 3-point step of how to experience more of the Holy Spirit. I just want you to get to know him. But I do want to be helpful for you. So let me give you a couple things. How do you get to know more of the Holy Spirit? First thing I would say is this, is you need to pray through the scriptures. Not just pray and not just read the Bible, but pray through the scriptures. As you read the Bible and reflect on it, ask the Holy Spirit to speak through his word. See, prayer is how we communicate with God, but the Bible is where you hear God speak because those are the words of the Holy Spirit. He opens and moves through the inspired scriptures. In the original language, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, when you look at the Bible, there's some 450,000 words. Most of us want some new revelation from the Spirit. Until you get a grasp on those 450,000 words, I don't think you need to hear something new from the Spirit. He's given you what you need to know right now. Just read and pray through the scriptures. See, we spend too much time online and not enough time in the Word. Spend time praying through the scriptures, not just reading it. Yes, read it, but pray through it. Second thing I would say is this. Spend time in the company of believers using the spiritual gift that the Spirit has given you. The spiritual gift that the Spirit has given you is meant to build the church, and you are part of that church if you have accepted Jesus Christ. Yes, this is a greater call for commitment to the church. Listen to me. What father doesn't want his family gathered for dinner? Don't you think that God wants his church gathered for worship? But let me just speak to these, and say it with me, unprecedented times. I believe that God does want his church to be gathered, but we know that this is a time where we can still be the church, even if we must be scattered. So I want to speak to those who are joining us online or for those of us who are joining us remotely right now. I want to read this passage to you. Paul writes to the Colossians, and he says this, "For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Yes, maybe for a time we must be absent from each other, but we are together in spirit by the Holy Spirit. So let's rejoice in that. And as we experience more of him, praying through the word and using our gifts among the church, we will better keep in step with him. We'll better be united together in him, and through him, he will produce in us the good qualities that we are talking about here through this sermon series. So let's talk spiritually about patience and kindness. Patience, a better experience of life. As I said earlier, I For a long time, I worked in the grocery store in the produce department at D&W. These days, I find myself shopping more often at Aldi's. I'm not promoting, and they didn't pay me to say that. I'm just giving you context. Now, at Aldi's, they've got these really great $1 frozen chimichangas. Some of you are judging me right now. They're a dollar. For a dollar, they're really good. And they're like 1 minute in the microwave. 1 minute. So I put this thing in, hit just the one, because it goes right to a minute. Do you know what? 20 seconds in, I'm like doing one of these things. With 20 seconds left, you know what I do? I put my hand on the handle of the microwave. Like somehow that's going to speed it up, and I'm waiting. Because you know, the second that thing dings, I'm not waiting another second because I already waited 60. Ding, open it up. $1 frozen chimichanga. See, we are so impatient. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We are so impatient. If we're that impatient for a 1 minute frozen chimichanga, imagine how we are with things that really try our patience. See, I think, I don't know if I should make this bold of a declaration, so I'm going to say one of the most precious things that we have is time. See, sacrificing money, we can always make more. But time is that thing that we spend that we don't get back. And when we are patient with someone who annoys us, or when we are patient with someone who we think is wasting our time, let me say this. It's like we are telling that person, your time is more valuable than my time. And if you're like me, something about that just rubbed against your soul in a negative way. We don't like to tell people that your time is more valuable than my time. That rubs against our entitlement. That rubs against our pride. It rubs against our sinful nature. But I'm telling you right now, when we have a patience like that, that tells someone that your time is more valuable than my time, well, not only is that true humility, that's true love. See, Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, and he's talking to them about how to be a good, solid church, he talks about love. And he gives them definition of love, and he says, this is the love that you should have for one another. And then he goes on to describe love. If you've ever been to a wedding, I'm sure you've probably heard this. But do you know what the very first two descriptors of love are that Paul says? Love is patient. You know what the second thing is? You probably guessed by now. Love is kind. Of all the things that God could have described love by, he says love is patient and love is kind. See, true patience is not just true spiritual humility, it's true spiritual love. When we operate in the Holy Spirit, here's the spiritual truth that we are living into and the spiritual reality. If we're going to walk in step with the Spirit, we're going to experience reality at a spiritual level. And so this spiritual reality that we experience when we walk in step with the Spirit is this. To keep in step with the Spirit is to live in His eternal perspective of time. To keep in step with the Spirit is to operate on an eternal timeline. We can be patient with a person and give them more time because we know, we who are in Christ, we know that we have an unlimited amount of time. Yes, our time on earth is limited. But the time that God has given you is meant to be used to demonstrate patience. Don't put your life on planet earth and patience at odds. Like the time God has given you, He wants you to bear the fruit of patience before others. That's how you are to spend the time that you have here. One of the most profound statements that the Bible gives us about our faith in Jesus and the great rewards and benefits of our salvation is that we get eternal life. For the Christian, our life is eternal. For the Christian, we can never give away more time than what we have. And the time you have here is meant to be spent demonstrating patience for others. See, patience, I think many people, if you ask for a description, they would say this, that patience is putting up with what we don't have time for, or maybe even putting up with what annoys us. And that tries our patience, doesn't it? I know it tries mine. And so our lack of patience is manifested in exactly what the Bible just had talked about, what we just read. Our lack of patience is manifested in fits of anger and strife, fighting, bitterness, brokenness in our lives and our homes. When we get annoyed or we get wronged, we lose our patience. Go ahead and ask my family. I am in the top 10 most wanted sinners for this category. Listen, I did the DNA test, okay? I'm 50% Irish. It all makes sense now. This is one of the areas that I am praying the Spirit better gets a hold on my soul, is in the area of patience. You know, the old King James version of the Bible, when it comes to this word, it doesn't translate this word as patience. It translates this word as long-suffering. Because patience is being willing to suffer for a long time. And nobody naturally wants to do that. This is why we so desperately need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. This is His fruit. This is not the fruit of our desire. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's His work in us. There's this guy on YouTube, and he does what I think is like, it just sounds like torture. This guy on YouTube, he will watch entire full-length movies at 25% speed. Meaning, he will watch movies in almost slow motion. But what he does then is that he notices all these things about the movie that we don't see by watching it at normal speed. And so then he'll go and he will record these videos pointing out all these things that we miss. Like, for instance, in Black Panther, in the car chase scene after the casino fight where there's a gun shootout, did you know that, I want to get this right, that the sound of the guns is the rhythmic pattern to the Marvel theme music? Like 10% of you care about that, but it's still fascinating to me. And it's crazy. You'll watch these videos where this guy points out all these weird little things about a movie, and you're like, I never noticed that. And you go back and watch it, and you're like, oh my goodness. It's like watching the movie again for the first time. And really what this is, it's a great exercise in how we would experience so much more if we would just slow down. If we would have that sort of spiritual patience. Listen, you know this. You know that you will notice more about a house if you walk by it versus if you drive by it, right? That's a straight up life lesson. Patience helps us to have a better experience of life because patience reminds us that we operate on God's timeline, God's eternal timeline. So have patience. Look at what Peter writes. Peter writes this. He says, count the Lord's patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. Peter also writes, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. As some count slowness. Did you catch that? Peter is showing us that we who are in Christ, we operate on a different timeline. Everyone else thinks God's slow in what he's doing. We know that God's patience, he's giving us space to live into his good will. He's giving us space to repent and come to Jesus. He wants everyone to come to Christ, and he's given us time to do that. Look at Peter mentions that Paul. Peter mentions that Paul writes about this. So look what Paul writes. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect, say it with me, patience, as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. See, God is patient with us so that we might be saved. He's given us time so that we might repent and come to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. Anybody remember that old Alabama song, I'm in a hurry and don't know why? You know, the chorus goes like this. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush. until life's no fun. That's not how it's meant to be. That's not how it's meant to be. See, patience helps us to enjoy the goodness of God that he has given us, and through that, that we might show the world something better. And with it, we get to experience the world better. When we have patience, the world will translate that as kindness. Kindness. Kindness is not a new idea. Kindness is not just a New Testament calling. God's been wanting his people to be kind since the very beginning. Look at these couple passages from the Old Testament. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Zechariah 7:9, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness, and be merciful. Have mercy for one another. Do you see what these two have in common? And you'll see this all over Scripture. God wants us to be kind, but never at the expense of justice. Like, being kind doesn't mean that we sanction sin. Being kind doesn't mean we excuse bad behavior. But we are meant to be kind. I mean, look at the world. Look at all the footage coming in off the streets and how broken and angry our country is right now. And I know if you're like me and you see some of that footage, you get angry too. You don't want to see this happen. You get frustrated. So here's what I'm going to say. What's happening right now in this world, and especially in this country, it's going to put our kindness to the test. And so we better be walking in the Spirit if we're going to demonstrate what the world needs to see in us. I want to read to you what Martin Luther King Jr. wrote during a time that's not unlike the time that we're experiencing right now. The good doctor wrote this. As the chief moral guardian of the community, the church must implore men to be good and well-intentioned and must extol the virtue of kind-heartedness. See, he calls the church the chief moral guardian of the community. That's a burden, but it's a great burden because the Spirit will fulfill it in us. See, this doesn't mean that we just maintain a pure sexual ethic. We definitely do that. This doesn't mean that we just stand for life. We definitely do that. And I hope that you'll visit our booth in the back of the worship service as we stand for life during 40 days of prayer. But this also means that we have to show the world what it spiritually and morally means to be kind. MLK wrote this in a book called Strength to Love, because it takes strength to be kind like this. See, it's easy to snap back at people who snap at you. It's easy to drop the filter once you get home and treat your spouse in ways that you'd never speak to a customer. It's easy to demean people who are taking the liberty that this country gives them for granted. It takes a spiritual strength to be kind to a cruel world. It takes spiritual strength to be kind to an impatient spouse. Which is why we must rely so heavily on the Holy Spirit to do this work in us. But here's the thing I already know. If you've accepted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And he is in you, and he's working to will and do his work with you. Just release him in your life. Let him do the work. Stop fighting against him. I think for a lot of us, the number one reason the world doesn't see something better in us is because of yesterday. We keep living into yesterday, when God wants us to live in what he's doing today. Put your past behind you, Paul did, and live into what the Spirit is doing right now in your life and what he wants to do right now in your life. And one of the things he wants you to do is be kind in a cruel, cruel world. Again, we must rely on the Spirit. Kindness is not just a courtesy. It's not just saying please and thank you. It's a godly quality. God is just. God is kind. Paul writes to the Romans and he says this, do you presume not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? See, God's kindness isn't just, he's not just being nice to you to sanction your sin. He's being kind because he's trying to show you something better that you have when you have him. So we need to live into this kindness. Live into God's kindness. When we are kind to others, it's meant to call them and point them to something better. Namely, God and the gospel, which is his plan for salvation. But let's Let's just kind of cut through this for a moment. Let's kindness. Like, I'm going to level with you. When you look at the world right now, like, kindness? Like, shouldn't we be calling to arms right now? Shouldn't we be preparing for a fight? Like, who wants to talk about kindness when there's this much anger and strife and brokenness in the world? But I'm going to submit to you this. If everybody was kind, wouldn't that make all the difference? And so where does it start? See, you think I'm going to say it starts with us. No, it doesn't start with us. It starts with God. It starts with who God is. God is kind. And then it starts with God who works and wills within us to produce this in our life. We need the Spirit to be doing this. Paul writes here, I'm giving you a lot of scripture today because I just want you to see how all over scripture kindness and patience is. Paul writes to Titus and he says this, but when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not, everyone say not, not, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this. The Spirit will do this in you and through you. And that's beautiful. Don't bear this burden, think that you have to try so hard. Just let the Spirit do this. Rest in him. See, kindness starts with God, but through him and through what he does in us, it will be demonstrated by us so that the world will see something better, that they will see the work of the Spirit in us. So yes, yes, we need to take this seriously. But we need to take this up a notch, and we need to take this spiritually. See, I believe that we are in a time where the church isn't just meant to shine. I believe this is a time for the church to grow. And I believe this happens when we walk in step with the Spirit and the world sees something better in us, when we shine the light of Jesus. And what does that mean? That means we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Or more appropriately put, he bears his fruit in our lives. Who wouldn't want to have a better experience of life? Who wouldn't want people to have a better experience of themselves? If you want this, then repent of your sins. Put them behind you and call on the name Jesus for your salvation. Trust in the risen Lord. Put your faith in the work that he's already done on your behalf, what he's already done for us in the cross. In this, he makes you a brand new creation. When you put your faith in Jesus, God doesn't see a sinner. He sees the glory and beauty of his Son. In this, God sees the person who the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. So let the Spirit bear his fruit in your life. When you accept Jesus, you get eternal life. And the Holy Spirit will bear his fruit in your life so that you might know more richly and more deeply the love of God. And the patience and the kindness that God has shown to you will become something better that the world will see in us. So Peace Church, let's be famous for patience and for kindness. Amen. Would you stand and let's pray together? Father God, we just pray. Lord, we ask that your Spirit, who is already at work among us, who has already found his home dwelling within us, Lord, that you, by the power of your Spirit, you'd bear these fruits in our lives. And Lord, we pray this because you are a good and a great God who is loving towards us, who is kind towards us, who is patient towards us, that even though we are redeemed and we fall short at times, Lord, you are patient with us. Lord, even when we don't do the things that we know that we should, Lord, we know that your Spirit is there to lift us up, leading us into your new life that we have here and now. So I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, for those who do not know your Son as their Savior yet, Lord, I pray that this would be the day of salvation for them, that they would claim the name of Jesus and the work that he's done for them on the cross and the promises that he's already delivered in his name. Father, we've come before you because you are a great God who loves us, who is kind to us, who is patient with us. Lord, how can we not respond and sing your praises? And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fill this place now, that we would lift up the name of Jesus and the greatness of our God. If you said that prayer with me, would you say amen? Amen.